Welcome to Real Money Talks. Real strategies from the money makers and the world changers that you can use to make millions, keep those millions, multiply your wealth, and build your team. Here's your host, author of 5 New York Times bestsellers, money expert on Dr. Phil, CNN, CNBC, The Street TV, Fox News, and The View, Laurel Langmire.
Hi, this is Laurel, and welcome back to Laurel's Real Money Talks, a podcast where we talk about money, and that includes everything: how to make it, how to keep it, how to invest it, and how to use a team, which is imperative because our financial services experience is all segregated. It needs to be integrated. Otherwise, you can get an entity, you can get a trust, you can get life insurance, you get all these things, but who's helping you glue it together so you actually have a masterpiece financially versus these broken pieces? So on our podcast, as many of you know, if you haven't subscribed, make sure you subscribe and click the notification button. Every Friday morning, we come out with a podcast about something. And today, our interview is with Katie Maris, who is going to talk about just women empowerment. Her book is called The Customer Experience, which is about women and empowerment. And then we're going to get some nitty-gritty technology, which is around AI bots and how to not give up the human experience. And one of the things, Katie, I love about your work, and it's just been a huge decision of mine as I came into being a coach and mentor, is I was in too many big people's programs and I would never actually get to talk to the guru. It was very difficult to talk to them. So you end up with all this other low touch, you know, online, go to a masterclass and learn it all. No, I want to talk to a human. So we chose high touch. I know you do too. And Katie is a best-selling author. What I love most about your whole bio is the TED Talk and keynote pieces, because TED Talks are more difficult than you all think to do and nail them. So well done on that. And so let's start. So give us a little background. Like, how did you end up here? What was your history of why this became important to you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have a colorful history, and I'm going to, you know, we're going to zoom past. I'm going to do it at lightning speed. But I started at Feet. I designed shoe stores. I designed guest experiences for shoe stores. I'm here in Canada. We were the first to bring Designer Shoe Warehouse into Canada, so I was part of that team. I went from Feet to Teeth, and I actually designed Canada's first online educational platform for the dental industry. So that was a really cool experience. And somewhere along the line, I fell in love with the customer experience, patient experience. And so I started my side hustle. I started to train under a mentor. So every day off I had, every vacation I had, every sick day I had, I was working on my craft and getting my name out there. It came to a point where I was COO of North America's largest dental consulting firm, and I left a cushy multi-six-figure job to follow my dream, and my dream being to impact change at an organizational level so that A, the organization can make more money in order to provide experiences for their customers, which increases that loyalty, it increases their referral rate, and it increases their top line. So I moved through that. I mean, I've worked with some of the largest organizations in the world, Celebrity Cruises being one of them, designed their experience, traveled around the world doing that. I've worked with hospitals, you name it, I've done it. And then I had a really awful car buying experience. And that, that catapulted me into the female consumer. I could not believe the experience I was being provided for the second largest purchase a human makes. I mean, unless you are multimillionaire, billionaire, where you're buying jets and boats and multiple houses and investment properties, the average Joe, it's their home and their vehicle. And I could not believe when I was going out to try to spend my $75,000 budget that I couldn't even give my money away because I was a woman. And I would get, is your dad coming? Do you make enough money? Is your husband coming? I even got once, you know, where's your grandpa? Like, you look too young, you know, and I was like, are you kidding me? I am trying to give you my money. Took me 7 dealerships in order to actually spend my money. And it's on a brand, it's Hyundai. They gave me a fantastic experience and a brand I wouldn't have chosen. I wanted the name brand. I wanted the, and no, not knocking soccer moms and their Vans, but that is just not who I am. I wanted the really cool.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a Jeep girl. I drive Jeep.
Exactly. So I then started down the rabbit hole. I started to research the physiological differences between men and women and why we buy versus why they buy. So I actually took apart the brain down to a scientific and molecular level. And I just started to design.
So I have to pause you and I want you to go down that little rabbit hole. Just like take a few minutes. What is the biggest difference? Because where we're going to have our and continue our conversation is in the experience. So what is the biggest difference between the man and female brain? I mean, a lot of people may have heard it, but let's hear from you.
Yeah, so there's two really big ones. One is our limbic brain. So our emotional and memory hub of our brain, the female's limbic brain is just about double the size of a man. So I always say when I work with individuals, males, and I say, if you have a grandmother, wife, daughter, sister, any woman in your life that remembers a fight from, you know, in grave detail from 5 years ago, it's because she's meant to. It's because she's meant to. The second one would be the way we communicate. So men actually only use one side of their brain to communicate, and that's logic. Where women have more gray matter, and we actually have neural pathways using both sides, creativity and logic. So when we talk in more detail, we storytell more, we want that warm and fuzzy feeling, where men are very utilitarian. Point A to point B, path of least resistance. And that's how they communicate as well, is just with that one side of their brain.
Interesting. So let's fast forward to the book. How did the book come out of this as you started doing your homework and your passion and your studying? Talk about your book.
Yeah, for sure. So I ended up applying to speak at all the automotive. Automotive was a space I went into because cars is what got me there, my awful experience. And as I started to design my keynote, I started writing articles. I started getting a little bit of attention. It was starting to stick. And I was like, there's a book here. And so I started writing my book, Custom Her Experience.
I love it. And so talk a little bit about what is in the book, because I know you're going to give, by the end of our conversation, she's going to give you some free tickets to her event and a free copy of the book. So all sorts of goodies coming. Talk about what they're going to learn in the book, why get it. And then I want to move over to our fun part of AI conversation.
Yeah, for sure. So in the book, I not only break down from a scientific level the differences between men and women, but I actually give you a roadmap on how to design these experiences. So I break down the customer journey. I talk about your brand standards, how to elevate that. I talk about the experience a woman wants, a hedonic experience versus a utilitarian experience, woman versus man. And I really break it down. So it's kind of a playbook that you can use to elevate the experience you offer the world's most influential consumer.
I love that. I love that. So let's move to the technology side of having the human experience and the AI experience. And we've already heard ChatGPT. There's a lot of other AI tools coming in the works already. But we've also seen total misuse of them, lawyers being disbarred, accountants been, you know, pulled their licenses, a variety of financial experts had licenses pulled because they're using ChatGPT, not doing the corrections, not managing it. So talk a little bit about that experience and I'd say the good and the bad.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I was speaking out at a conference about 3 weeks ago, and I was talking about the five-star experience, five steps to a five-star experience. And I got in the room and they all sat down, standing room only. The room was packed right out the door. And I looked at them all and I said, we are not going to talk about AI. And the entire room erupted in applause because all they've heard about is technology and AI. And I'm like, we're going to talk about the human experience. And so I'm not anti-technology, but I am anti-technology if you're thinking it's going to replace that touch. Because once you do that, you've gone to one extreme and you're going to lose your customer. I mean, how hard is it for us to actually get a human on the phone these days? It's next to impossible. Yep. And it's frustrating because no matter which way you slice the cake, if you own a business, which everyone on here or you work in a business, you have a customer. Your customer is not a bot. Your customer is human. So you cannot use a bot to serve your customer. You can use a bot to enhance your systems and processes. You can use this AI in order to maybe make things a little more smoother, to give some, you know, pave that smoother path for your employees so there's less resistance for what they need to do. However, your customer is human. Mm-hmm. And in order to take their money and earn their money, you need to treat them as such. And so we can't go to the, you know, opposite end of the spectrum where it's just, oh, well, I'm just going to have AI take care of this. They can service my customer. You're going to lose your customer. And here's the thing, the World Wide Web exists. So you can, they can Google your competition in like 30 seconds flat. Hey, they'll even use ChatGPT to tell them who your competitors are. And they're going to go to them. So the person that's going to give them the experience is the business, and I use the person, people do businesses, business with people.
Yep.
That's who they're going to do business with. They're going to do business with the person that actually connects with them.
Absolutely. Talk about then inside of that, the five-star experience. I want you to break down, and you don't have to go into detail, but just the top five things that you just mentioned that create that five-star experience as they're designing the human experience.
Yeah, for sure. So what you say and how you say it matters. It's hard not to go into tones, but don't, or into detail, but don't use, you know, slang, use full sentences, and your tone of your voice is the thing that matters the most. You can have a call center that's serving your customers out wherever in the world you have them, but your customer, when they're, let's say you have your son or anybody's kid, they know they're in trouble by the tone of, you know, their parent's voice, right? Like how they say their name, or you like when you're, when a wife would say it to a husband and vice versa. Tone is something that's universal. And so if you're frustrated, if you've got a lot going on, if you're angry, that comes out in your voice and your customers receive that. So what you say and how you say it matters. You want to use their name and use your name. It breaks down those barriers and it makes them feel like they're important to you. You want to be intentional with being genuine, creating a genuine connection. And a lot of folks will tell me, well, Katie, why? I don't know them. Why do I need to be genuine? Why do I need to care? And I, you know, ask permission to be very blunt.
I can't believe they'd ask that question. Like,
well,
of course.
They do. They all do. And I'm like, well, who's paying for the roof over your head, the food on your table, and little Johnny's soccer? Well, I work. No, your customer. Your customer is the reason you can do these things. So if you can't find a way to be genuine with them, then, I mean, I don't know what you're doing in life. You want to anticipate their needs and deliver a plus one. So you want to collect those golden nuggets. Our favorite person to talk about is ourselves. So our customers will give us everything we need in order to elevate that experience. And then you want to be a hero. And what does that mean? Listen, we are human. We're not bots. So we are going to screw up. We are going to drop the ball. And that service recovery system you have in place will often create more loyal customers than the experience you provide itself. So you want to be a hero.
Hey, this is Laurel. And a lot of you have been like giving some feedback and saying, I want to make some money. I actually need to grow my business. And I really need to understand millionaire structure. So go to asklaurel.com/podcast, grab 2 free tickets to my millionaire intensive. I'll see you there and teach you every one of those topics. I like that. But you know, I like about the words that you use, those service recovery, because I don't think people have a service recovery. They'll call it customer service, but I actually like the spin of those words, which is the recovery, because you know you're going to drop balls.
Yep.
Right? In our organization, I say it just depends on which ball you drop and when you drop it, because there will be balls dropped.
Yes, that's a fact of life. It's going to happen.
And be a truth teller. Tell them up. Yep. Drop that ball. Let's pick it up. Yes. We'll hit the reset button and we go again and just, you know, keep moving on. And don't you find the less negative energy around that, you know, making a big deal about it versus sorry, or however you move on, give some language maybe to how you do that. Cause we're very transparent about how we do it. It's like, yeah,
so
it didn't happen. And we just, you know, I say truth telling is your best avenue to handle that.
Well, you're dealing with a human, right? So they understand. They get it. You know, hey, it's saying I'm sorry. And a lot of, you know, the customer's always right is the saying we The saying we hear all the time, saying sorry isn't necessarily admitting that you've done something wrong. Saying sorry for how that customer is feeling or how they've perceived that interaction, because perception is reality. It doesn't matter what we think is a great experience. It only matters what the customer perceives is a great experience. So saying sorry and putting yourself in your customer's shoes and saying, how could I have been better? How can we serve you differently? What would you have needed? How can I make it right? And so that's the always asking questions, listening, and then taking that information and tailoring the experience to what they need and want.
Perfect. So talk about your event. So tell me a little bit about your business. So when people come in, they obviously get a lot of blueprints, your book, the five stars, you know, the five star experience. Talk a little bit about the event that you're doing and the women empowerment that you're doing about taking control. And those of you, I'll start prepping you to go get your gift. It's asklaurel.com/take control to get the gifts from Katie. And again, when you go to asklaurel.com.
No. Wait. Redo that part. The link is /5-star.
Oh, I thought it's in the chat is take control.
That's the one from before. Yep. It's this one.
Okay. It's 5-star.
We'll take that out.
Letter 5 or number 5?
Number 5. Yep.
Okay. All right. So to get the gifts from Katie, you're going to go to asklaurel.com/5-star. So put in the number 5-star and get her gifts. We're going to talk about more in a moment. And at any time, if you have any question for us, go to asklaurel.com. You can make a request. You can ask a question. And we have a team that 24/7 mans that and make sure that you get what you need from us at any time. So let's move to your event, Katie, and talk about the women and why women empowerment is because of the challenge we have as women. I mean, I know, you know, I always partner with men. People say, why do you partner with men when you're always such a, you know, women champion and single mom champion? I said, because I don't care how deep you dig in this world, everywhere in the world, when I bring a man as a business partner next to me, we get farther. And I know that sounds horrible and women hate to hear it.
No, it's the truth.
It's just the truth. So, and I always tell women, like, I know you're going to launch this more on like the International Women's Day, but I'm usually the one on the Women's International Day saying women, because they don't negotiate, they don't stick up for themselves and they don't ask is why they're paid less. There's no other reason other than the lack of negotiation because the skill sets are there. I don't believe that. I think women are just scared to ask and negotiate. What's your thoughts on all of that?
So I'm going to answer my thoughts on that. And then I'll give you sort of the background on Ladies Take Control. Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. So when I stand up on stage and I talk to a group of women, again, I ask permission to be radically honest with them and pretty firm. But I say, we cannot wait for an industry, for a company, for the world to make equality a thing. Like it just, we can't. So now we need to stop making excuses and walk towards that line. We need to show up as our best. We are all capable. We need to find our voices, stand in our power, and we need to build our own tables. It is what it is. And I always urge women to find their voice, use their voice, and not use equality or any of the obstacles that we have as an excuse as to why we don't have what we want. A lot of the times it's just easier to lean into that excuse than it is to actually do the hard work.
Would agree. Love that you've brought it up that way. And
that is what I believe.
Well, and I speak a lot to the, especially women, but single parents, but you know, being a single parent isn't a victim experience. It's a real experience. I went into parenting knowing I'd be a single mom. And it's the same thing. It's just easy to use things as excuses, like versus like Katie said, do the work.
I'm a single mom. I'm a single mom and I'm out and I'm a true victim. I'm a victim of domestic abuse. So this is where Ladies Take Control. About 110 days ago, I was discarded by he was supposed to be my fiance. And bank accounts were frozen. And so this is a lesson, ladies, that you have to take because you have to stand on your own 2 feet. And what I didn't do or what I did do and I shouldn't have done is I invested in his businesses. I invested my time. I gave up my career. I did all the things that a good wife is supposed to. And now I'm in litigation. I'm getting back, you know, to get my money back out of the businesses and all the things. But it was, he basically said, go sell your body for groceries. He cut off my credit card. I know, right? Cut off my credit card, cut off the bank accounts, all the things. And this is where Ladies Take Control came from. I had two choices. I could sulk and be a victim, which I am legitimately a victim, but I didn't have to have a victim mindset.
Yeah.
So I could choose the other. So you can still be a victim. We can't control the hand of cards we're dealt all the time. We just can't. But we sure as heck can control how we play them.
Yep.
And so Ladies Take Control was born out of my darkest days to help women see that no matter where you are in life, it is a choice. Is it a choice? It's a choice to rise. It's a choice to keep going. It's a choice to take control of your life. And so that's where the event was born. And now my podcast is launching on March 8th, Ladies Take Control, which is, we're not going to focus on all the bad stuff that happens to us. We're going to focus on setting the power of your mindset, the power of your voice, and using that. And then the second event is happening. There's a big thunderstorm happening here. I'm so sorry if you guys can hear that. but the second event is happening June 14th, and we're really excited about it. And our app
is actually live. Are they live? Excuse me. Are they live? Or are they on Zoom?
So it's virtual. And what's really cool is that if you can't make it, you'll get the link and get the replay. So sign up. The free ticket is there for you. Empower yourself. There's literally zero excuse. I'm giving you zero reasons not to attend. You have to attend to step into your power. We have some incredible speakers, and it's actually going to also give you a 30-day free trial of our app. And our app is coming out, the Ladies Take Control community, where we are bringing in all of the training, personal, professional development, energetic development.
You should do the finance development. We got to put the dates on my calendar, Miss Kay.
Yes. Yes, let's talk about that. The finance, I need somebody for financial development, financial literacy. Yep. And everybody's going to come onto that app and have all of that. And so with the launch of the second event, we will have 30-day free access to that community.
Awesome. Well done. Well done. So again, go to asklaurel.com/5-star. And you'll get the two tickets and the book and be able to follow Katie and everything else she's doing. So give some words of wisdom and actions, right? So wisdom is more inspirational, like, you know, things to think about and be inspired to do. And then what is just some daily actions that you always tell women what they can do to take control?
Yeah. So words of inspiration and wisdom, gosh. Yeah. You are worth everything you could ever dream of. So you need to dare to dream it, but then you need to do something about it.
Yeah.
And so that action piece, your dreams aren't reality without action. And the action is scary. It's not easy. It's really hard. And so lean into and start enjoying the hard. Because the hard, it means you're doing something. When it's easy, you're coasting and you need to check your dreams at the door because they're not going to become reality.
So give us an example of hard. Because I mean, I like that you just get right into that language. I always say my language around it is just different. It's not difficult. It's different. It's different. So the difference causes the uncomfort, which feels like it's hard.
Yes.
But it's really just something different you're doing. And if you're not used to like causing discomfort and you're so used to being comfortable,
yes.
Do little things like, you know, I remember Bob Proctor used to say, just if you start with, you know, your pants and then your shirt and your pants, or how you brush your teeth, do it with your left hand instead of your right hand. Like just start doing things different, like at the most simplest form, even how you eat or how you write or how you do anything, and just start doing it different. So you start getting used to being uncomfortable with the common safe tasks that you do. So I always thought that was like a hysterical thing to give people, but I started giving it to people because they don't even know how to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, that discomfort is hard.
Well, that's the wording of hard, is it feels hard. It feels like you don't know what to do. You don't know what next steps to take. It feels difficult, or it feels different. So it feels difficult, just as you described that. But that's when you know you're brushing up against the edge of something better. And like an example of a task I encourage women to do is to say something, like if you think it, say it. So it feels very uncomfortable. So even if it's just to a friend, or even if you write it down, but stop suppressing your thoughts, because your thoughts are valuable and you're worthy. You have ideas and you need to start thinking that way. So if you think something, say it, and don't apologize for it. And so doing something simple like that, whether it's just calling up a friend and saying, oh, I had this idea, get used to expressing yourself and step into that power of your voice and using your voice. Something else would be, starting a morning routine, adding one new thing every 67 days. It takes 67 days to actually make a habit. So gratitude, if you start with your morning with gratitude, three things every single morning for 67 days, it's going to be hard to do it because you're not used to it, but it will completely shape your day. Then I add it at night. What were my lessons that I learned at night, throughout the day, and what am I grateful for? And taking those little actions actually will completely shape your mindset and reframe your mindset, which allows you to take over and start doing the harder things.
Yeah. And one of the things I'd encourage you to do, if you don't have a journal, and by the way, we have journals that we've been giving through our YouTube channels, journal what Katie was just talking about, like start journaling the three things that you're grateful for. And they cannot be the thing I add to it that makes it a little more elevated is you can't keep repeating the same thing. So in 67 days, you're going to have three things. You're going to have almost 200 things that you're grateful for. And if you're sitting there going, I'm not grateful for like 200 things, start writing them down, start getting creative, start thinking of the little things the beauty of our mountain. We live in Lake Tahoe area. Are you kidding? Like I could say just the air and the, water in the mountain.
Sometimes it's my coffee in the morning, the warmth of the coffee, I get to drink this coffee and I get to write this gratitude list. And you need to start small, and small is okay. That's the other thing. Like stop bashing yourself or shaming yourself for thinking that, is it enough? Well, of course it's enough. You're doing something new, and tomorrow you'll build on top of that. And the next day you'll build on top of that. So I would, just get rid of your own negative Nancy voice in your head and just keep moving forward.
Well, Katie, it's been great to have you here on Laurel's Real Money Talks. And the rest of you, I want you to immediately go to AskLaurel.com, ask any question, make a request, and make sure you get her gifts at AskLaurel.com/5-star with the number 5, so 5-star, and get her information. And we're going to stay on a little bit afterwards, and I'm going to be the financial expert on those Take Control shows. So we're going to put those on my calendar as well. I've just invited myself. Katie knows me well enough to know I know do that. And I look forward to supporting all of you, especially you women. If you're a man out there listening, then send this to the women that you know and love in your life and just forward this podcast on. And let's get more and more people engaging in a great change and great gratitude. Katie, thanks for being on today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And the rest of you, we'll be back next week with more conversations and more lessons.
Thanks for listening to the Real Money Talks podcast. Your host has been Laurel Langmire, author of 5 New York Times bestsellers, money expert on Dr. Phil, CNN, CNBC, The Street TV, Fox News, and The View. Want to learn more about off-Wall Street investing, tax strategies, and multi-million dollar business strategies? Visit liveoutloud.com/podcast for past episodes, show notes, and resources. For some special wealth building gifts only for Laurel's podcast listeners, visit liveoutloud.com/podcast gifts. Do you have a burning question for Laurel? Visit asklaurel.com to submit your question, and it may just be covered on a podcast episode. So stay tuned and be sure to subscribe to get new episodes every week.